Okay. So I'm going to get into this message. I only have a few minutes, but I'm going to do an abbreviated message here. So, oh yeah, you go for it. So listen, before I get into the message, I just want to say, I need to say this to everybody. Some people don't know, we've been asked a lot of questions. Some people don't know what Kim and I have been going through recently, so I'm going to give you just an abbreviated, a real short, in a nutshell, what's happened to us, okay? Because we've had a lot of questions, and I just want to, first of all, before I say that, if you're new here today, anybody new here today, is your first time here, first time, welcome, thank you for coming, we're so glad you're here, come on, give them a hand for, yeah, woo, we love people, so we love you. So thank you for coming today. My name is Bill. My lovely wife, Kim, who was right here singing, is she and I are the co-lead pastors at the River. We're so glad you're here. I wanted to say this. So here's what's been happening. I've been kind of sick since last March, okay? And what happened was one day I woke up and I was dizzy, and it hasn't gone away. And then there's all kinds of other symptoms that started coming on after that. Kim has also been experiencing symptoms and things that some I knew about, some she didn't tell me about. I guess I had enough of them. She didn't want to burden me with any more that she was having. And so a little over a month ago, we were, you know, I had gone through the gamut of treatments this year just trying to figure out what's going on. I mean, I've had brain scans, you know, MRIs and all these other type of things, and blood tests and cancer tests and all these type of things because they're trying to figure out what was going on with me. And so about a month ago, we had our house tested. We lived in the parsonage here on the property. We had the house tested, and it was full of toxic mold and formaldehyde. So that is what happened. So we, you know, there was good news and bad news. Good news in that we found out what was going on with us. Bad news in that we had to throw away almost all of our possessions. So I'm telling you all this to tell you what's been happening. So we have, I want to say thank you, to all of you. Kim and I both do. I'm saying it on our behalf. Thank you, because you've been such a blessing to us. You've been praying for us. You've been helping us. You know, last week, several people collected some money to give to us, just to bless us financially, and it's just been a blessing to us. And so many others have stepped up and done some things that I just won't share with you. We've been living in an apartment that was offered to us free of charge by a couple that attends our church. They're members at our church, Gary and Vicki Brown. They were in the first service this morning, and it's just been a blessing. So God has taken care of us. He's taken care of us. We're getting well physically. It's going to take a little bit of time. It takes time to work through this mold sickness we found out, but we know God. How many of you know God can speed up the process? Amen? He can speed it up, you know? They say it takes 6 months to a year to get well from this, but I know God can do it in 6 minutes. Amen? And I'm praying he does, you know what I'm saying? Because I can't take one more day of dizziness, you know? I was already dizzy to begin with, you know what I'm saying? So I need any added help there. So we're just thankful. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for helping us. Thank you for all that you've done. We're so appreciative of it, and good news is we are buying a house. People have asked what we're doing. I didn't go into great detail with the first service, but we're going to tell people, we're asking what we're doing. We are buying a house. In fact, we close on it tomorrow morning. Amen. Yeah. So we're excited to be in a house of our own again. And people have been asking. I'm just telling you right now, yes, the parsonage, we are tearing it down, and we have to because of the toxic mold that's in it. It cannot be remediated. It's not cost-effective to do it. So, everybody. So, there's the answers that you've been looking for, all right? That's what's been happening. All right. So, I want to get into this message quickly. The clock says I have 8 minutes and 44 seconds, so I don't know if I can cover it in that amount of time. But I'm just going to take a few minutes. If we go 10 minutes over, you're okay with that, right? Okay, so we've been in this series called First. We do this every year at the beginning of the year, First, because we want to put God first in all that we do, and we feel like at the first of the year is a great time to do it. And we're not talking about resolutions, okay? I mean, you can make your New Year's resolutions if you want, but how many of you made a New Year's resolution? You already broke it. Anybody? Anybody already? I'm not going to eat chocolate all year. Well, broke that day one. So we're not talking about resolutions. We're talking about putting God first in different areas of our lives. Of course, he wants all of it, right? He wants everything in our lives to be first. But we each year we pick, you know, four different topics that we're talking about. So week one, Kim talked about relationships, putting God first in our relationships. How many of you know if you put God first in your relationships with him, in your relationship with him, then all your other relationships will be great? Amen? If you put your relationship with the Holy One first, then your human relationships will be outstanding. Okay? So Kim did a great job covering that week one. And then how many were here for last week with Jason Isaac? Wasn't that good, huh? Powerful message. Jason just did a great job. I won't spend a lot of time on what he talked about, but he talked about faith, putting God first in our faith. And it was a great message. So if you missed any of that, you can go on our website, currenttolife.com, and you can watch those messages. Today I'm going to talk about truth, putting God first in truth. Okay, first, truth. Almost 2,000 years ago, truth was put on trial and judged by people who were devoted to lies. In fact, truth faced six trials in less than one full day. Three of these were religious and three of them were legal. In the end, few people involved in those events could answer this one question: what is truth? After being arrested, the truth faced three trials in front of the Jewish leaders and high priest. All of these trials were corrupt. And they also broke no fewer than seven Jewish laws while trying to convict the truth. However, the Jewish council had no legal right to carry out the death penalty, so they were forced to bring the truth to a Roman governor at the time, a man named Pontius Pilate. Pilate was appointed by Tiberius as the fifth prefect of the Judea area, and he served in that capacity from A.D. 26 to A.D. 36. As the procurator, he had power of life and death and could reverse capital sentences passed by the Sanhedrin. As the truth stood before Pilate, more lies were brought against him. His enemies said, "We found this man misleading our nation and forbidding us to pay taxes to Caesar and saying that he himself is Christ, the king." This was a lie, because how many of you know, how many read the Word of God, and Jesus actually encouraged everyone to pay their taxes. Jesus never spoke of himself as a challenge to Caesar. After this, a very interesting conversation between the truth and Pilate took place. And I'm going to read it for you here today. It says, "Therefore Pilate entered again into the praetorium and summoned Jesus and said to him, 'Are you the king of the Jews?' Jesus answered, 'Are you saying this on your own initiative, or did others tell you about me?' Pilate answered, 'I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priest delivered you to me. What have you done?' Jesus answered, 'My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm.' Therefore Pilate said to him, 'So you are a king?' And Jesus said, 'You have said correctly that I am a king. For this I have been born, and for this I have come into this world, to testify to the truth. And everyone who is of the truth hears my voice.' And Pilate said to him, 'What is truth?'" What is truth? Pilate's question, "What is truth?" has reverberated down through history. In a postmodern world that denies that truth can be known, the question is more important than ever to answer. What is truth? What is truth? So many people are confused about this today. So many people have no clue what truth is. So to answer the question, what is truth, the first thing I did was I went to the Webster Dictionary and I looked at the definition of truth in Webster. There are actually three definitions of truth in Webster, three different versions. Number one says it's the body of real things, events, and facts, actuality. Number two says it's the state of being the case, fact. And number three says it's a judgment, proposition, or idea that is true or accepted as true. After I read this, I sat there and said, well, that wasn't much help. It still doesn't tell me what truth is. So after I read the Webster definition, I thought, well, let's go to the Bible and find out what the Bible defines truth as. So John 14:6, the Bible defines truth. Jesus said himself, it says Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This is the true definition of truth. Truth is not a definition. Truth is a person. And his name is Jesus. Come on. Now, I could spend a lot of time on this, but I have 2 minutes and 30, 29, 28 seconds. So I'm not going to do that. But, I mean, I could just stop right here and preach. You can't define truth. Truth is outside of your ability to define or discern, because truth is a person, and his name is Jesus. Truth is the Son of the living God. You can't put truth in a box. You can't say this is truth and that's not truth. You can only look to the truth, and you can only accept the truth, because the truth will set you free if you accept it. Amen? Listen, in defining truth, it's first I want to just, let me give you a few things that is not truth, okay? Let me tell you a few things that are not truth. Truth is not simply whatever works. It's not. This is called pragmatism. And what that is an end versus means type of approach. In reality, lies can appear to work, but they are still lies and not the truth. Just because something works doesn't make it the truth. Truth is not simply what is coherent and understandable. A group of people can get together and form a conspiracy based on a set of falsehoods where they all agree to tell the same false story, but it does not make their presentation true. It's still a lie. Truth is not what makes people feel good. Oh, come on, can I get an amen? But I can tell you this, the truth may not always feel good, but the truth will always be good for you. It may not always feel good when you find the truth, but it will always be good for you. Next, truth is not what the majority say is true. Just because the majority says it's true doesn't make it true. The majority can be wrong. The majority can believe a lie. Truth is not what is comprehensive. A lengthy, detailed presentation can still result in a false conclusion. Truth is not defined by what is intended. Good intentions can still be wrong. Truth is not simply what is believed. A lie believed is still a lie. Some people say, well, I believe it, so it's got to be true. No, it can still be a lie. Just because you believe it doesn't make it true. Truth is not always popular. Somebody say amen to that. Especially in our day and age that we live in, right? What is popular is not always true. Right? Just because a bunch of people jump on the bandwagon doesn't make it truth. It may be popular in our society to do certain things, but that doesn't make it truth. Last three things I want to tell you is truth is not deception, truth is not error, truth is not self-contradictory. Amen? So I want to spend just a few minutes. I'm already in the negative, so I'm just going to spend a few minutes on these next three things. Okay? So let's first go back to the Webster Dictionary definition number three. Webster Dictionary definition number three. And this is what it says in that definition. It says truth is a judgment, proposition, or idea that is true or accepted as true. Do you know what they're saying here? They're saying that truth is relativism. How many of you know what relativism is? Anybody? Okay, a few of you. So I'm going to give you the definition of relativism. What relativism is all points of view are equally valid and all truth is relative to the individual. So what relativism is saying is that if you accept it as truth for yourself, then it's truth. That's what relativism says. I accept it as truth for myself. That's true for me, so it must be truth. Okay? If this were true, then it would seem that this is the only truth that relativism would have to offer. And I'm going to give you the reason why. Here's the reason. If what is true for me is that relativism is a lie, then is it true that relativism is a lie? Be careful before you answer this question. Because if you say no, then what is true for me is not true, and that means relativism is a lie. If you say yes, then relativism is a lie. Do you want me to say, anybody want me to say that again? Want me to repeat that? All right, let me say it again. We understand what relativism is, right? It means if I believe it's true for me, then it's truth. Okay? That's what relativism is. So let me say it again. If what is true for me is that relativism is a lie, then is it true that relativism is a lie? If you say no, then that means that that what is true for me is not true. I can believe relativism is a lie, but if we're believing in relativism, then if you say it's not truth, then it's crazy, isn't it? I got it right here on paper and I can't even say it right. So let me just give you a scripture. Because see, what relativism does is it defies the very nature of truth. Truth is not self-contradictory. It will not contradict itself. It can't contradict itself. Hello? Colossians 2:8. Ready? Colossians 2:8. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense. Hello, thank you, Jesus. Isn't that high-sounding nonsense right there? Relativism is just a bunch of high-sounding nonsense. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking or from spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ. If it comes from your own thinking or from the spiritual powers of this dark world, it's nonsense. If it doesn't come from Christ, it can't be true. Amen? Relativism is just deception. That's all it is. It's pure deception. And people get tripped up on this. I don't know how many times I've said relativism in this message, probably like 30 right now, but people get tripped up on this relativism because of arguments like this. Is it true that I like chocolate? The answer would be yes. That's not a trick question. Okay, yes, I like chocolate. But because it's true that I like chocolate, is it true that everybody likes chocolate? No, it's not, right? So because of an argument like that, people say, well, that's truth for you. This is where the lie of relativism came from, right? How many like apple pie? Anybody like apple pie in this place? How many can't stand apple pie? You just can't stand it, okay? A few people. So for several people who raised their hand, the majority raised their hand that it's true that they like apple pie. How many would say you love apple pie? It's true that you love apple pie. Okay, how many would say you absolutely do not like apple pie? All right, so the majority love apple pie. So what's wrong with you people that raise your hand that don't like apple pie? Apple pie is truth. It's absolute truth. Listen, I got to say, straight out of the oven with a nice scoop of vanilla ice cream. It's almost a spiritual experience right there. It's pretty close to absolute truth. High-sounding nonsense. High-sounding nonsense. See, apple pie is not truth. Apple pie is just a preference. And the truth is not a preference. The truth is a person, and his name is Jesus. See, Satan has boiled down truth to preferences. That's a dangerous place to be. Because people can prefer all kinds of junk. Right? People can say, well, I prefer not to get married. I just prefer to sleep around. Oh, I'm meddling, aren't I? I'm meddling. If you're new here, yeah, we want you to come back. We want you to come back. May not sound like it right now, but we do. That's a preference. But relativism says, well, that's truth for me. Right? But the Word of God, who is Jesus, and Jesus is the Word of God, you can't separate the two. In the beginning, John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. Later in John 1:14, and the Word came and dwelt among us in the flesh. That's prophesying about Jesus. That's talking about Jesus. Jesus is the Word, and the Word is Jesus. Jesus is truth. He already defined it in the Bible. He is the truth. So you can't separate the Word and the truth. And so just because it's your preference to sleep around and not get married, the Word of God says that God made one man and one woman, and they're to be joined together as one, all right? And marriage is God's biblically defined legal right of being together, all right? That's it. Outside of marriage, sex is a sin. That's truth. No matter what you define it as, that's truth. Let me say that again. Outside of marriage, sex is a sin. Should get a bigger amen than that. That's all I'm saying. I mean, you're not amen in that one. You might be telling on yourself. That's all I'm saying. Woo! I'm getting a little sparky today right now. I just feel it right now. I feel it. Because it's about time that we stood up for what truth really is. It's about time we shut these lies and deceptions down that have been permeating the church and our society. And the only way we're going to do it is stand up and live by the unadulterated Word of God. Right? And call a lie, and call the truth, truth. Man, I sound like an old-fashioned gospel preacher right here. I might just get a hanky and just do a run, a little train around the building. Choo-choo! Bible says that the enemy, Satan, is the author of confusion, that he's he's a liar and the father of lies. John 8:44 says this. It says, for you are the children of your father, the devil. Now, before I go any further, he's not talking to you right now, okay? Unless you're believing the lies of the enemy. In this scripture, I didn't bring all the scriptures before this, and he was actually talking to the Pharisees at this time. Because the Pharisees had believed these lies of the enemy, and the truth is standing right in front of them. And they want to crucify the truth because they've been believing the liar. And this is what the enemy will do. He'll just flip it upside down. He'll convince you over a period of time, he'll convince you that what you've been living and what you've been believing is truth. And when the truth actually shows up on the scene, you'll want to kill it. You want to kill him. So it says, you're children of your father, the devil, and you love to do the things that he does. For he was a murderer from the beginning, and he always hated the truth because there's no truth in him. When he lies, it's consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Now, can you imagine this? Can you imagine Jesus coming? What if Jesus walked into this place right now in the flesh, and he walked up to you, and he just said that to you? Wow. Right? Here they already want to kill him.
They're already making plans and plotting to kill him. And I love this about Jesus. He didn't pull any punches. He didn't hold back. He knew he was going to the cross. So he's like, I'm going to say it right now. I'm going to say it loud and clear. I'm going to speak the truth. Why? Because he's the truth. He can't speak anything but the truth. So he just laid it out there for him. Let me give you another example of deception and error and self-contradiction that the enemy puts on us. It's the words that we speak. It's the things that we say. A lot of times, if we just listen to the words that we say, we'll see if we've been living, believing some lies in our lives. Okay, so here's one. Have you ever heard somebody say this phrase, that's life? Ever hear that? This phrase, that's life, it never comes after something good. Ever. You don't hear somebody say, hey, I just won the lotto, $300 million, that's life. Right? Nobody ever does that. People are like, I lost my job, that's life. My car broke down again, that's life. Right? My boss was cruel to me again today, that's life. I got a bad diagnosis at the doctor, that's life. People say that all the time, don't they? They never say that's life after something's good. This is how the enemy has infiltrated and deceived us into speaking lies instead of the truth. And I'm just going to show you something that's very powerful right here, and watch what he did with this one word, with this one phrase. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So who's the life? Jesus. But the enemy is getting us to say, every time something bad happens, that's life. That's not life because that's not Jesus. You hear me? That's not life because that's not Jesus. If it's not good, it's not Jesus. Come on. I'm just going to hanky wave myself right here. Whew. You are preaching so good, Bill. You look good and you preach good. Thank you. Thank you very much. So we should flip that around. If those words are coming out of our mouths, it means we believed a lie. And we're actually speaking a lie. It's evidence of what has been going on the inside. We gotta take captive those lies and kick them out. What was it, Calissa? Was you saying fire that? Fire them? Fire them. We need to fire those lies. You're fired. We need to Donald Trump them. You're fired. That was pre-President Donald Trump. That was when The Apprentice. Well, anyway. You never watched the show, you didn't get it. That's a lie. What we should be saying is, I got a promotion. That's life. Woo! Yeah, got another good report. That's life. Hey, that car that kept breaking down, sold it. Got a new car. That's life. Hey, woke up this morning, I'm still breathing. That's life. Right? And if we say that, then that's truth. Because that's what Jesus wants for you. That's what Jesus wants for me. That's good. You know, that's life comes from an old song. You remember that song? That's life. That's what people say. You know, I know that part of the song. How many know that part of the song? Okay, because it's on a commercial now, right? That's life. That's what people say. Yeah, whatever. The rest of the lyrics, though, the very next words, I looked them up because I didn't know what the other words said, and it's very encouraging and inspirational. Riding high in April, shot down in May. I don't know, Ronnie. That doesn't sound real encouraging to me. You know what I'm saying? You probably shouldn't rap those lyrics right there. Shot down in May, that's life. Right? listen, really, if you look at this, the enemy is not, he is not satisfied just to infiltrate a small part of our culture. He wants to get it all. He wants to infiltrate all of it, right? So look at this. It's not just phrases that we say. It's in our music, right? It's in our commercials. How many times a day do we listen to the lies of the enemy in music and in television and on the computer and on Facebook? How many times a day do we allow that to infiltrate our minds, and then all of a sudden, before you know it, you're saying phrases like that? I love what Jason said last week. He said, some of us, many of us, are living the lives of the very words we spoke years ago. You don't like your life? Your life's a mess. You don't like it? Change your words. Change the way you speak. You change the way you speak and your life will change. We have power in our words. We have power in our words because there's power in this word. And if we speak this word, we'll have power. Amen? Amen. Listen, I just want to give you a couple more things here, and then I'm going to close this out, okay? You need to know that the truth identifies you. The truth tells you who you are, how you were created, what you were created for. The truth is not confused, so the truth does not bring confusion. Did you hear me? The truth is not confused, so the truth cannot bring confusion. The word, the Greek word for truth is aletheia, okay, aletheia. And it's a beautiful word because here's the definition. It literally means to unhide or hide nothing. It conveys the thought that the truth is always there, always open, and always available for all to see, with nothing being hidden or obscured. I love that. This is the word that Jesus used in John 14:6 when he said, I am the way, the truth, the aletheia, and the life. Jesus is coming out and saying, listen, here's the thing. When we say truth, we don't really know what the definition is. Obviously, as believers, we know Jesus said, I'm the truth, but we don't really know what the definition is. I read the Webster's definitions. Bunch of nonsense. I just wish in Webster, where it said truth, it just said Jesus. But when Jesus said this in John 14:6, when he made this statement, they knew exactly what he was saying because they knew the Greek language and they knew the definition. And when Jesus said, I am the way, the aletheia, and the life, they're going, whoa, wait a minute. He's not hiding anything. He's unhidden. He's out in the open for all to see. He's uncovered. I love it because this is what Jesus did with our sins. Jesus uncovered our sins and he took them away. Oh, come on, y'all. That's good stuff right there. If you know the Old Testament at all, you know that the blood of lambs and bulls, all they did was cover up the sin. But they couldn't wash it away. They couldn't take it away. All they did was cover it up, and the stench of the sin still wafted it out underneath the covering. But when Jesus came, he uncovered the sin and washed it all away. Amen. And that is what truth does. That's what truth does. Truth uncovers it and washes it away. And that's why Satan wants you to stay hidden in secrecy and darkness. I said this in the first service. I'm going to say it again because I just feel led by Holy Spirit. And I'm not trying to... I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings or anything like that. Holy Spirit told me to say it, so he knows what he's doing, right? If you are working hard at hiding something or covering something up, it's a pretty good indication that it's a lie and not truth. Okay? You know this phrase, come out of the closet? Why do you need to hide in the closet to begin with? Maybe it's because it's a lie that you've been believing about who you are and who God created you to be. God doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't make mistakes. He knew what he was doing when he created you. He knew exactly what he was doing. And I'm sick and tired of the deception of the enemy stealing our young men and young women. Sick and tired of it. Sick and tired of this deception and lies of the enemy making us afraid to stand up and speak in love what the truth says. And the truth says you are whole and you are healed and you are well. The truth says that I created you exactly as I desired to create you. The truth says I didn't make a mistake when I created you. I knew what I was doing. So quit believing the lies of the enemy. You have to hide it in darkness. It can't be the truth, because the truth is unhidden. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Father. Amen. I've gone long enough today. Would you stand with me? I need the truth deep down inside of me. I don't know about you. I need this truth deep down inside of me. The world needs to hear this truth. Amen? They need to hear it in love from people who know how to speak the truth in love. So this is what I want you to do. I just want you to place your hand on your heart right now. Just say this with me. Say, Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you to rip the cover off all the lies that I've believed. Father, expose those lies to the truth of your word. Father, set me on the right path to speak your truth with power and with authority over my life and the lives of others. In Jesus' name.